The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Joining us now, one of the best young quarterbacks, nay, one of the best overall quarterbacks already after only two seasons in the National Football League. And this is one of the last guys we interviewed together at the Scouting Combine in 2020 before you started throwing up in trash cans.
Right.
And with that, Justin Herbert. Justin, how are you, pal?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Great. You probably don't remember that at all, but we sat with you at the Combine, and we thought after you left, we're like, this guy's going to be pretty good. Like, we'd never talked to you. I'd never talked to you. We'd never met you. And we were really impressed. And you've made us look like not idiots, which is a difficult thing to do.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it was kind of a tough situation if you go back 2 years, but had a lot of fun since then and just have enjoyed playing football so far.
At the time, like, you know, there was all the talk, right, Justin, when you were coming out, all these people had question marks, you know. Oh, you know, there's a few games you didn't play great in. Your, you know, quarterback efficiency rankings weren't good. Oh, what will he be like once he has to leave the state of Oregon? Because he's like a bubble boy, apparently. Do you laugh at that now when you look back at it, how, like, ridiculous some of the dissecting of you was?
I thought it was a great opportunity for me to answer some of those questions. And you do look back and you kind of look and you kind of realize that maybe there wasn't all that much truth to it.
Right.
And to be myself, to be genuine, to go there, to answer those questions and to go to the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and be able to put myself out there on the line and show them who I really was. You know, I thought that was a great chance for me to go out there and do that.
What's been the biggest thing that surprised you about the NFL two seasons into your career?
I think the speed of the game is still so incredibly fast. I still have to adjust to that. And as soon as I got down to Southern California and got to practicing with those guys, I threw a screen pass to, I think, Keenan. But Melvin Ingram reached up with one hand and picked it off, and like it was nothing, like he just did it regularly. And ever since then, you kind of realize that every guy that's on your team was the guy from where they are. And they're so fast. They're much bigger, stronger, and you can't run away with things. You can't get away with anything. So it's been a fun challenge so far.
Can you sit back and understand the success you're having? You're the first quarterback ever to have 30 plus touchdowns, you know, 2 years in a row. I mean, Justin Herbert, you got to be voted in and start over Patrick Mahomes in the Pro Bowl. To me, that was a moment where I was like, whoa, like, fans and the players actually are going to do this. This is amazing. Are you able to sit back and digest that and kind of realize what you've done and the accomplishments so far?
I think it is a huge honor. You know, we've put in so much work these past two seasons, and, you know, the season hasn't always gone our way. And that's the unfortunate part about the NFL is you're playing really good teams week in and week out. But to have the guys that we have, the receivers, the tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs, and offensive linemen, they've done an incredible job blocking, catching, running routes. You know, I'm not here without them, and they make my job so much easier. So it's been so much fun to be a part of.
Do you like being in the same division with Patrick Mahomes and competing with him head-to-head and facing him twice a year? Do you ever find yourself looking at the NFL's configurations of teams saying, boy, you know, life would be a lot easier in this division, not the one that I'm currently assigned to?
I think it would be a lot easier being outside of that, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity to play the best. You know, the Chiefs, they've had so much success over the past couple of years, and you wouldn't really want it any other way. You want to go up against those guys. You want to play them because they're going to make you better. You know, they're going to find your weaknesses, and they're going to exploit that. And so, you know, it might be tough. You know, you're going to play against those guys, but it's going to make you better. And I think in the long run, that's what you want.
Yeah, I hear that. Now, I want to get a little into some of the nitty-gritty of your football season. You know, fourth downs especially, right? You've got to answer this question a few times. You know, just playing quarterback, you know, Brandon Staley, obviously very aggressive. You know, what's your feel, your thoughts? Do you love it, the fact that he's so aggressive and always gives you one opportunity, you know, one more opportunity on fourth downs?
Selfishly, as the quarterback, I want to be on the field for every fourth down.
Right.
And whether that's smart or not, that's not my call to make. And whether it's fourth and short, fourth and long, you know, I really believe in the guys that we have. And I believe that if we don't get it, our defense can come up with a stop. And so having that opportunity of going for it and ultimately changing the game, if you do get those, you know, I think that's big for our team because of how aggressive we are.
Nuts and bolts, how much input do you have in the decision or the play call? Are you involved in that, or is that all predetermined out of your hands? I've only been doing this 2 years. I'll defer to the system that's around me.
I think it's kind of finding that balance between the two because, you know, we've got an incredible coaching staff that have been around for so long. They know what they're doing. You know, I trust them completely. But at the same time, if there is a play that maybe I don't want to run or there are a couple plays that I really do like, I feel comfortable going to them and talking with them about that because at the end of the day, it's all of us together. And if we can all work together, I think we'll be at our best.
What's Justin Herbert need to improve? I mean, you're kicking butt. You're definitely one of the best quarterbacks in football. Like, what do you look at after 2 years in the NFL and go, you know, I need to get better at this for year three?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of room for improvement. I think we could limit turnovers. You know, I think 15 interceptions was too many this year. A lot of them were on tipped passes and poor throws. I don't think too many were bad decisions, which I think is a positive. But I think footwork, continuing to step up in the pocket, get the ball out quickly, work the protection, understand the protection, and to continue understanding our offense so that when we do go out there on the play, knowing exactly what to do, which play to get to, how to audible, doing all those things that a quarterback does.
Do you have to tell yourself sometimes to, hey, don't forget I'm really mobile and I can get outside the pocket and run? Like, I felt like there was a time this year where all of a sudden – and I can't remember. It might have been the Pittsburgh game, the Sunday night football game, where I felt like all of a sudden you had a little bit more urgency or awareness to run and tuck the ball at times. Was that something that was really going through your head or you have to remind yourself of sometimes?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you bring up. The Steelers played a lot of man against us. And so when the defensive backs, their backs were turned to me, and if there was ever a lane to step up and run, you know, there was plenty of space to get up and kind of get away. And a lot of those were on third down, which, you know, I think were big third down conversions for us in that game because the game ended up being really tight. A lot of points were scored in that game. And any time that you're able to convert those third downs, whether it's through the air or on the ground, it's important for the offense. And teams have done a better job of kind of filling those lanes. But for that game that we just found a way to convert those. So that was big.
Justin, you may have heard the rumors are true. They're playing the Super Bowl in your stadium. Will you attend the game?
That's the tough question to answer. Watching the playoffs and watching the Super Bowl as a player, you always want to be a part of it. And since we're not, it's kind of tough because you want to be a part of it. And haven't made my decision whether I'm going to be there or not. I know I'll watch the game one way or the other, but whether I attend, I don't know yet.
Do you get motivation from seeing that the Rams, the team that you share a stadium with, is here? Does that give you an extra little kick to see that between that and Joe Burrow, who was drafted the same year you were, obviously, does that give you extra impetus to say, hey, one of these years, I'm not going to be available to do interviews the week of the Super Bowl because I'm going to be getting ready to play in it?
Oh, it totally does. And to see the Rams, to see the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, a team that we've played during the regular season as the Chiefs as well, you know, it does give you that motivation heading into the offseason. And you want to get back to weightlifting, to meetings, to throwing, because you want to be there. And without football, you know, you don't have a whole lot going on. So, I'm excited to get back to this offseason with our guys, our teammates, so we can put ourselves in a position to be here later.
Who do you root for? I mean, I know if I was in your shoes, I'd go, damn, I don't want the team in my city to win. And I also know I'd go, damn, I don't want the guy that I was in the draft class to win and get one up on me early. So, like, you know, who are we leaning towards right now, Justin Herbert?
That's another question that I have to answer as well. You know, you bring up really good points about that. And, you know, I think the real winner is the city of Los Angeles for hosting the Super Bowl.
Look at you all professional with these answers and stuff. Look at you. Look at you. You're good. That's why you are the quarterback right there.
I've had plenty of time to prepare for these, so good, I appreciate good. That.
All right, this is the toughest and most probing question of the entire interview. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
Tell us what you're doing with Dr. Squatch Natural Soap.
Yeah, so Dr. Squatch and I, we're excited to announce this partnership because they've done a great job producing high-performance care products, soaps, shampoos, deodorants that are free from synthetic materials and harsh chemicals. And, you know, I've really enjoyed using it, and they've even sent it out to our offensive linemen as well. And I know they have too, so hey, it's been great for us so far.
You want the center to be smelling
yeah,
good.
You don't
Chris
want to
knows
make sure
that well.
The center smells good. He wants to make sure things are proper.
Shotgun, you know? It's okay.
Shotgun, he is in shotgun a lot, so yeah. his hands probably smell good more times than not.
Chris has some fun with that because he played in Tampa.
I played in Tampa and got a little center hot and sweaty. That we used to call a swamp ass, right? You know, I was it was a constant thing of like not the ball would be wet in the second quarter. It'd be like I was throwing the ball in a rainstorm. So we have funny stories about that and cleanliness. But I like this logo on the shirt too, Justin. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And what you mentioned, that couldn't have been easy. So, you know, everything to make our offense better, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Well, we started the interview with Chris throwing up in the trash can from 2 years ago, and we end with swamp ass.
Yeah,
so there's
great.
Some poetry
Sounds
there
good.
Somewhere. Justin, you were the first interview of the week that we did, and we appreciate talking to you. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You're the man, Justin. Good luck, buddy.
Appreciate you too.
Yeah.
There's the Santa Monica Pier.
I'm going to be there.
I know. You're going to ride the roller coaster?
Would you fit on the roller coaster? If they want me to throw up.
At most amusement parks, they have the thing where you say you have to be this tall. Right. I think you're beyond the limit.
Some of those
safe limit
scary,
for some of these rides.
No doubt. When you have to like put down the thing, I'd be like, damn, my knees are there. That hurts.
All right, here he is. One of our best friends
in
the business. The Mad Dog. You know, when you're really good, they name a whole network after.
Oh, I know. That's talking crazy. Yeah. Mad Dog Radio. Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
It is. That's when you know you're – you know what else you know you're big time? Will you just say, like, screw it to combing your hair anymore?
Yeah, I know. I didn't do that. I have no
thing
approach.
Star.
Yeah, I don't have
that's
to do
you
it.
Know you're a star.
And he, you know, he keeps his hair coughed superbly.
He's,
all
he's
the
ready
time.
To ship out.
Oh,
any
my
day.
God. He's in the right spot.
USMC.
And I talk to his father every week. You know, I talk to his father once a week for an hour. Do you know that?
No.
Every
Friday.
4 o'clock on Friday,
yeah,
Suzanne.
Right.
Your dad is. Proud of you. Proud of you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I almost did it 1 week last year because he had a
he was away.
Issue.
Right.
Right. But I had to go to his house to use the machine.
Yeah, he's got that machine. He's got, and he's not technically inclined, so that's always loose.
You think? I can't get this machine to work today. Did you press the on button? Oh, no, damn. I
Dad was the MVP of Super Bowl 21 for the 1987 Giants. We're adapting to the Washington new logo.
Right.
It wasn't the 86 Giants. It's the 87 Giants.
22 out of 25, wasn't he?
Good day.
22 out of 25.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
It's cool to be back here because of that. It really is.
Do you remember that game?
I do.
You do? What were you, about 10?
No, I was actually like 6.5.
Oh, 6.5.
My dad or my mom would tell. I was a whiz kid, like very aware of what was going on. It was a cool day.
Oh,
the Rose Bowl. Pasadena.
Trailing,
you know,
10-9 at the half.
10-9 is a little dicey.
You know, and I did my trivia. You know, I do a big trivia to give away tickets to the Super Bowl. And one of the guys we used this year, they had to guess who the name was Louis Wright.
Oh.
And Louis Wright was on that Denver team. And you know what he said? He said, we got all screwed up. We didn't realize the half. We used a little cut. They had to guess who it was. We got all screwed up. We didn't realize the half.
It's 30 minutes long.
It was 30 minutes long. So we did our secondary meeting. We did the whole team meeting, everything else. And we ran out. The security guy says, where are you going? You still got 15 or 20 minutes. And he said, we screwed up. We didn't know. He said, that really fouled
them
up.
Took them out of mojo.
And then, the third quarter, the Giants went crazy.
Giants dominated them in the third quarter.
Well,
that's interesting.
Well, not a surprise because what team would be ready for it? Parcells and Belichick.
Right.
They're
going
to know every detail, and they're going to have everybody ready to go, and it's not going to be a surprise.
100%.
That's good.
They're so detailed, that group right there, that, I mean, Mad Dog, you'll remember this, is that he wanted – he literally told McConkie before the game to run out. You know how McConkie used to bring his towel and run around? He knew where they literally had pointed. The Giants fans are sitting here. We want you to go to these places and fire the crowd up so it becomes a New York stadium.
Wow.
And that's how well thought out that group is. It's all of it. They didn't have a Saturday walkthrough practice because they had practiced so good all week. Like
Phil knew he was right. Your dad knew he was gonna play well. He felt very confident.
He knew he was on fire. He was. The fact where Parcells on Friday was like, whoa, hold. I mean, come on, save some of these throws for the game. And you know, it was that kind of week.
And Monconkey caught a touchdown pass off a deflection.
Right.
Not
right.
In that game.
Right.
Yes.
People still go, well, your dad got lucky with that one touchdown. I go, he hit Mark Bavaro in the face. I mean, Mavaro just didn't catch it. It was a good throw.
They had a great second. They were up down 10-9 at the half. They won 39-20.
Yeah, unbelievable. Really, when you think about it, because it felt like it was going to be a great game, and we were at a mode then when the great games didn't happen very often.
Yeah.
They always
got
off the rails.
Right.
And it has been one of the amazing things of the last 20 years. Teams have figured out, I think, how not to completely fold the tents when they fall behind.
Yeah.
Because I think it used to be you get down by 7 or 10 or 14, and that was it.
Like,
the air was out of the balloon,
Bowl.
And it was over.
So, the pressure.
But they've learned how to deal with that.
100%. Yeah. And don't forget, that game, Denver was coming off the 98-yard drive.
Right.
And the Giants played Denver in the regular season.
And it was
a close game, 21-17.
I think it was 19-12 or something like that.
It was a close game.
Yeah,
so they had that, and then Denver fell apart.
19-17, actually, I think.
Close game. George Martin had a big fumble recovery touchdown in that game.
Who was favored to win that one?
The Giants were.
But yeah, in the regular season, the Giants converted a 3rd and 46.
In that game?
In that game.
Oh, I didn't realize
to
that.
To get it down and kick the game-winning field goal. It was very close.
Wow,
all right, so wait. I want to ask both of you guys, because I love you guys, and I love your guys' history and everything like that. Like, right off the bat, what's the best Super Bowl and I want you next, Mike, but like,
wow.
What's your favorite Super Bowl of all time? Or you just sit there when I say that and you go, that one was special.
Boy, oh boy. The Patriots losing to the Giants when they were 16-0, 18-0.
Yeah,
that was the Giant Buffalo one, no turnovers.
Right.
With the field goal. That Norwood missed. That was a hell of a game.
What about you, Mike? Like, what's your top two or three?
Well, you know, it's funny. I want to go with the Tom Brady answer and say the next one. But I'll say 43. 43 was the first one I ever attended in person.
Steelers-Cardinals.
Yeah, Steelers-Cardinals. And it was, you know, think about some of the iconic plays. The James Harrison return for a touchdown right before half.
Right.
The Larry Fitzgerald shot out of the cannon when it was like, holy crap, the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, my brain can't comprehend that a 9-7 team has been downtrodden for decades is somehow going to beat the Steelers and win the Super Bowl, and then they drive down. And I remember wishing and hoping that it went to overtime and that somebody would win with a first drive field goal, because I'd always hated that rule.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't until the next year in the NFC Championship that it happened. But I'm thinking, if the Steelers kick a field goal here, because they ended up scoring the touchdown, they go to overtime, somebody wins a coin toss, scores a field goal, everybody's going to lose their mind, and they're finally going to fix this overtime rule that I thought was horribly unfair.
Well, are we going to fix it now? We've had it twice in the last 4 years. Are we finally going to get this fixed now?
I think they're going to do? I think regular season is going to stay the same. And I think in the postseason, you're going to have one guaranteed possession per team.
Josh Allen will get the ball.
Josh Allen gets the ball.
Right.
And then if Josh Allen scores a touchdown, as he would have that day, they decide whether or not they go for two or whether or not they take their chances and kick off again when it converts to sudden death.
Right.
So you get a chance to match the score of the team that gets the ball
first,
and after that it's sudden death.
Yeah.
Even if it means the coin flip gives one team two possessions.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of variations. I've had some quarters tell me, how about first to eight?
First to eight.
Yeah, so in other words, that the defense got two chances to stop. If you score the touchdown, you could still stop on a two-point conversion.
Right, gotcha.
And do it that way. That's not going to do that, but there's a lot of variation.
They don't want to do anything gimmicky. They don't want to do spot and choose.
Yeah.
They don't
want
to do anything that fundamentally changes
the
game.
Football. Right,
especially if the regular season is going to stay the same. If the regular season stays the same, you can't roll out spot and choose for the postseason. It's got to be just a continuation, an extension of what you would do in the regular season.
And to be fair, the Chiefs got burned 3 years ago when they didn't get the ball, so now they got a chance to get it back. Now Buffalo, the next time, they'll win it, and they'll get the ball first. You know this thing works.
Yeah, it'll work.
But, you know,
amazing.
But there are teams out there that when they get burned by a bad rule and you would think they're going to start an effort to change it, they say, nope, we're good with it.
Karma,
because next
karma
time,
will come
next
back.
Time it's going to get us.
Right.
We're gonna, it's going to fall in our favor.
Yeah.
So we already got burned. We don't want it to change before we get the payoff on the back end.
I think the one rule that we discussed this last year, you were nice enough to talk about it, is they should change this stupid thing with the ball goes out of the end zone. The
defense, don't get it started.
The defense should
absolutely not.
Oh, you're one, crazy. The
you're
defense
crazy.
Should not get the
you
ball to the 20-yard line.
You want to give the ball back to the offense?
No, you give them a 20-yard penalty. Put them at the 20, but the defense didn't recover the ball. Why should they get
exactly.
the ball?
Because it's in their area.
Exactly.
No, no,
it's
they
the, only,
get,
it's the only part of the whole field that has ownership.
No. You're punishing
you lose
it.
The ball in North Korea, Kim Jong-un gets to keep it. Sorry.
I don't like. They should. The offense should get the ball back at the 20.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But the defense should not get
never.
The ball when
never.
They don't recover the
They've
ball.
They've done
the
nothing to get possession. And if
that
the ball
bothers me. You like
bounces.
I do.
Just as simple as if it bounces out of bounds at the 1-inch line, the offense gets it at the spot of the fumble. But
okay.
if it hits the pylon,
yeah.
the other team gets the ball.
Okay.
It makes no sense.
Well, why?
It's
a game
no
of inches, literally.
It is the
and
ultimate. That's what the rule has always been. That's why they keep
you
it. Why is it the rule? Because it's always been the rule.
That area to stop a team from getting 7 points to going into. It is your area. You've lost the ball and it was free. I own that area.
You know what, though?
It's mine.
I once tried to figure out why that rule is what it is.
Yeah.
When Dean Blandino was the senior VP of officiating,
right.
he said to me, you know, once upon a time, the rule was if you threw a pass into the end zone and it touched the ground in the end zone, the other team got the ball.
Well,
right.
That was a long time
yeah,
ago.
That was a long time
and
ago.
And a Colt Giant won in 58. The Giants won the overtime toss.
Right.
And so they did not score. Then he went down the field and Demetrius scored the touchdown.
Right.
If you listen to the game broadcast, everybody says that nobody knew about the overtime rule. The fans cheered like crazy when they won the overtime toss. So they knew that their team was going to get the ball first
right.
with a chance to win the game.
Sure.
And they stopped them, and then United went right down the field, and they won the game on the overtime.
Yeah, that's
23-17.
They're concerned about too much of an extension of the game, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's the other problem.
Get people hurt. Right.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to have too many reps in the game, but they don't want to do anything too gimmicky. And if the regular season is going to stay the same, look for it to be like what we saw. The Bills would have gotten the ball again. They score a touchdown.
They could have done one way or the other.
1 point, they got a kickoff, and it's sudden death, or they go for two. Wouldn't that be something?
I could have made the argument in that. Now, they wouldn't have done it, but with 13 seconds to go, I considered the fact, you know what, why don't you go for two here? You had gotten a two-point conversion the first time. You knew that he wasn't done because he had the three timeouts. Why don't you put the freaking game away? You got a better chance against the Chief defense to get the 2 points than to hold the Chiefs from not kicking a field goal.
That's a good point.
It's not a bad thought.
But, that's too radical, but that did cross my mind at the time.
And with 13 seconds left, you defend with a different sense of urgency.
Because the guy got a touchdown.
Because you know, but even if because it's not overtime, if you don't get it, you say, hey, we're going to lose the game if we let these guys get in field goal position.
Right, that's true.
You got a greater
sense of urgency. Going the other way.
So I win or lose on the two-point try, I think there's a certain amount of complacency that gets baked into the cake.
I agree with that.
When worst-case scenario is we get the coin toss and maybe we win in overtime.
See, if they get the two-point conversion, the Chiefs are not going to score a touchdown. And if they don't get the two-point conversion, they might play better defense, so the Chiefs can't get the field goal.
That's a great point.
They got to protect it.
This guy's pretty smart.
Now
I know why they
name
a network after.
Well, I mean, that's why they're paying them $70 million a year over at Mad Dog.
69.5.
Wait, so I want to go more history with you guys, all right? I want to do more. All right, other than Phil Simms in Super Bowl 21, which was the greatest performance in Super Bowl history, we know that. But
what, quarterback?
No, or just tell me, like, what's the one performance? Doesn't even have to be a quarterback that you look at to just go, damn, that's the one that really jumps out to me.
From anybody in particular?
Anybody. You can go anywhere you want.
But how about Marcus Allen's game against Washington in 83?
That's pretty special, right.
What do you have, 173 yards
and then ran the wrong way
ran
and
the wrong
shot
way.
That was a big...
That's a special one.
Timmy Smith.
But it was
Doug Williams in that same game, though.
Yes, you could.
They're down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter.
35 points in the second quarter.
And exploded.
Yeah.
35 points. I mean, let's go to the first one. He gets in at 3 o'clock. He gets in at 7 o'clock in the morning. He's half in the bag. How about Max McGee? Who went crazy
that
in the Super Bowl one against
the Hollywood story.
Still drunk.
Yeah.
Yes,
catching one-handed catches, right.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That is a good one. That definitely is.
You know, it's funny, too. You made me think of Super Bowls. You know, in 90, that was the first one I covered.
Right.
That was in New Orleans. And that was the San Francisco.
Right.
89
season.
Yeah, come on, Washington Commanders.
So we had Mike and I, my old partner, Mike Francesa, we had Madden on. And some rolled together. And Madden, you know, he had gotten it. He was there about 8-9 years. And Anyway, a good interview, and he says, hey, guys, do me a favor. I want you to come to my suite sometime this week. I want to show you something, me, right. Mike and myself.
Right.
So during the week, we go up to his suite. He was in one of those nice little boutique hotels on the French Quarter, and he says, here, sit down. He's got the Telestrator out. He says, watch this. He shows you all the plays. John Taylor's going to do that. Rice is going to do this. They can't stop Roger Craig. Wright can't guard him. Foley stinks. This game's got no chance. 55-10 San Francisco.
Right, that's so he was calling the shot.
That was good.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah,
and that was a year after a really close one, too. So we were starting to expect. It was a year after the Bengals.
Hey,
and so we're thinking, all right, hey, maybe we get a good game here. We got John Elway. We know he's back again, and that was
A stretch where the games are terrible.
Terrible.
Buffalo and Washington was terrible.
Yep. Yeah, Buffalo-Dallas
was terrible.
Yeah, right.
Buffalo-Dallas was bad. The last one, 30-13. That was a bad game.
We're now at the point where we expect a good game. That's why I'm afraid that this year, because if the Rams want to win this one, you got to step on their throats and you got to press and they could blow them out.
You know, I see a close game.
I mean, I would be surprised if it's not a close game, but I think there's a little more blowout potential in this year's game than
before. For the Rams to
win? Yeah, I do. I could see the Rams the Rams have been playing good football, as we've discussed, for a while. Stafford had a few moments where we go, what the hell is he doing? But the team itself was playing at a high level, and he's playing at a high level right now to where I go, man, they execute the way they've been playing.
Now, I don't completely.
They get a strip sack fumble.
I don't completely
Jalen
trust
Ramsey.
I don't completely trust them.
But I hear you. No, I hear you. Because
don't completely trust them.
Just like we saw last week. I mean, they got to the 4-yard line, the second drive of the game. He tried to fit a tight
ball.
And
the ball should have been picked off in the end zone on the 50-yard line with 10 minutes to go.
I get it.
He picks that ball off. The Niners might win the game.
Well, maybe. There's a lot there too. I don't like.
They would have been up.
Jalen Ramsey dropped the interception.
Yeah,
in
that was later though. That was later.
Right.
And McVay in that game was so bad.
A little
54-yard field goal. He uses timeouts. Oh, he was chasing the whole game.
He was chasing. That was their kryptonite.
Here's why I like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Two reasons.
I'm leaning Rams, and he's starting to convince me.
Well, here's the thing.
Good.
Cincinnati win? You could see Cincinnati win.
Yes.
Could you see Cincinnati cover and lose? Absolutely. 4 points is a lot of points. You could see this game 23-20. You can't see this game 27-24.
Sure.
In a minute. You could see the Rams winning, but you also could see the Rams winning but not covering, like San Francisco.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I could see the Rams winning the game, but if you take the Bengals with the 4 or 4.5, you're going to win anyway.
We both had that. We both had Rams by 3.
I know.
Did you? Yeah. I had the Rams, too. I got killed with it. So that's one reason why I could take Cincinnati in this
game. Yeah, I hear you. Hey, the way the NFL set up, the Bengals, they're a never-say-die team.
The receivers.
The receivers. You know, again, the way the NFL rules
nothing's
are
nothing's
going right
to bother them. 21-3 down to the Chiefs,
no,
and they came back to win.
Nothing's going
to
bother this group.
You know, here's
no
the other factor, too. Now, you know, we see a lot of people with jerseys of all the different teams, and there's a certain amount of Rams fans. I'm going to be paying close attention to how many Bengals fans start showing up Thursday, Friday. I remember the Super Bowl in New York when it was Denver and Seattle.
Right.
We all kind of thought Denver was better. The Seahawks fans
took
the place over.
Right.
They took the place over.
Right.
And 2 years ago in Miami, the Chiefs fans took it over. And I think there's something to be said for that. If the Bengals fans take over that stadium on Sunday,
I'm not sure if there's enough of them to travel, though. You think there's going to be that many?
That's what I wonder.
There were a lot
too.
Of them in Nashville. I know this is a lot farther away than Nashville from Cincinnati, but they had 30,000 of them show up to see them off in the stadium yesterday.
Right.
So
right.
There's a lot of rabid Bengals
this
fans.
This is a major problem for these two franchises here. They don't have home field advantage.
No.
Especially the Chargers.
No.
The Chargers is ridiculous.
Right.
And if you're a Ram fan, did you like how San Francisco in week 18 and then in the championship game, they took over the building?
I know.
It's a major problem.
But that's what you get when you abandon a market for 20 years
and you
give all these millions of people license to pick up whatever team they want, and then those teams come to town, they're going to try to buy a ticket to come watch that team.
But they're laying down the tracks, their foundation right
now. Yeah, they're laying down the tracks. I agree. You know, stadium's great. I haven't been to the stadium.
I haven't been there yet either. We'll be there the first time this weekend.
Nope,
I can't wait. I know. But, I mean, they are – I feel like there's buzz around. I feel like I do go in our hotel, other places, workers.
There's some peppy.
Rams juice. How can you not like some of the guys on the team and be excited about that, right? I mean, McVay's Hollywood. They fit the mold, that's for sure.
And the Rams in the late 60s, you know, the Rams in the late 60s were a great team, and they never won a playoff game. They never won a playoff game. You know, they got burned in 67 in Lombardi's last year. They were 11-1-2, and the Packers were 9-4-2, and they had to play in Green Bay in the first round because in those days they rotated home field.
Right. Yeah.
And the Rams, who beat the Packers late in the year, had to go to they were 11-1-2,
right.
And they had to go play in Green Bay in the first. And the Packers were 9-4-1, whatever they were, and they had to play a road game in the first round.
Dad, your hair is crazy, but you got good history. I like that. I did not know that one.
The week after the immaculate reception game. The undefeated Dolphins went
to
Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because it was rotation. Yeah.
Larry Seipel on a fake punt.
Isn't it crazy, though? Isn't it crazy to think that they didn't put it on merit? They didn't award those games based on merit?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, when I was growing up, too, the wild card teams, they're in the same division, they couldn't play each other. I wish they would change that back.
You don't like the wild card team?
I don't want to see Rams Cardinals again in the wild card round. It's like I just saw you a few weeks ago, and I saw you a few weeks before that. I don't want to see that in the wild card round.
Yeah, you got so many teams in the playoffs, so you live, and you also have situations where you have the rematches because they play division in the last seven.
I know.
So you're going to have a chance where you're going to have that rematch in the next week. That's dangerous.
I don't love
I agree with you. I don't
too many playoff teams, though, to work your way around.
It's hard.
Too many. There should not
be
14.
Seven? I don't think, because there's two seven matchups. Now, the Colts almost beat the Bills, but the other 3-2-7 matchups so far have not been good.
The good thing you do like about it is that the one seed, there's a lot on the line for the one seed. You win a playoff game and you get everything at home.
Yes.
Doesn't help Tennessee.
Right.
See, if you're the top two seeds, you say, you know what? I'll worry about the championship game when I get there. Let me get the bye week. With only one team, there's more of an accent to get the one seed because you get the bye week.
Definitely. It's
I just think there's so much pressure on the one seed. You haven't played. You're facing a team that's just won a game.
Good point.
They got nothing to lose.
And both lost this year.
And if they catch you wobbly early it's a game, just happened in both games, same day.
Yeah.
But Green Bay got off to the good start. Tennessee fell apart, but Green Bay was up 7-0 in that game.
You know, the Green Bay game was lost when Mercedes Lewis fumbled.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if they score that drive and go up 14-0, it's over.
Right, even 10-0. They never got up by two scores,
point.
Make Jimmy G have to throw and get
and
it
back. And that was his second drive, right? They got
right.
the ball
second
back.
Second drive, bootleg, Mercedes Lewis. As soon as he catches it, Fred Warner.
Because I'm thinking this thing is going to be over by halftime, if not sooner. And the 49ers, that's the thing. When you're the inferior team, if they let you hang around, that's why I think the Bengals could, if the Rams have to blow them off the field.
And the Rams have let teams hang around. 17-0 Niners, week 18.
No doubt.
Tampa, dead as a doornail.
Oh, they were killing them. They should have been up by 40. Right.
Last
let them
week,
hang
they
around.
They really shouldn't have been that close. They
were controlling the first half.
They let teams hang around. That's why I kind of like the points with the Bengals.
Hey, would you have MVP vote?
I don't know. I'm not. Nope, I do not.
Wow, I'm shocked
by
that.
I got to be a writer.
Yeah, but you'd give it to Rodgers.
I'd have to give it.
I forgot you had to be a writer for that.
You got to be a writer.
Yeah.
Same with baseball.
Yeah. All right.
All those awards.
You'd give it to Rodgers.
You and I get knocked out of that damn thing. Well, you get one, right? Because of football.
No, they don't like me.
They don't give it to
me.
They don't like me. They don't like people who speak the truth. That's the problem.
Well, that's why the fans like you. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's right.
The NFL doesn't like you because you're
all right, so you're leaning Bengals.
I would lean Bengals.
You're leaning Bengals with the points here.
And I also take the under. I think this game is 24-21.
Okay. All right.
Low scoring, and it's 48.5.
Yeah.
48.5. All right. Your go Rodgers MVP.
Yep.
You would do that?
I would do it. And Mike told me today on my little radio show that he thinks Rodgers is going to leave.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with him.
I would agree with that too. I think
so
that's
I'll go with him on that one. He knows more than me.
Right.
So he thought even Tennessee. Mike did a good job.
I think Tennessee makes sense, but Denver is where all the signs are pointing.
Right, because Hackett, and they have some money. But I think it's been a great year. That quarterfinals, the divisional round was so good. Those four games were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you know what? You didn't think the two championship games, after you have those four great divisional games, you think you're going to get a lousy game?
Yeah.
The two divisional games.
They were great.
The championship games were pretty good.
They were.
I thought we were going to get a lousy one. I was hoping we were going to get a lousy one because I picked the Chiefs to cover. I picked them to win 41-24, and I'm thinking, this is good. This is going to be 41-24. I got a chance to hit 41-24 when it's 21-3.
Do you think the NFL and the NBC would rather have the Chiefs here than the Bengals?
Rams,
right? I agree.
Jared Goff's long gone. Todd Gurley's long gone. That Rams-Chiefs game from the regular season.
Oh, that's true, too. You could have played that back 51-50.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, right? Nothing beats Mahomes still in the Super Bowl again, right?
Quarterbacks with the ratings.
Yeah, they drive.
But you know what, though? Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore because it's a Super Bowl.
Just too big.
That's true.
We talked about that yesterday. Whatever two teams, if it was Jaguars and Lions, as long as they earn their spot there,
it's still
the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But, you know, that $100 million is the key number. A close game, they like to break that $100 million. You would know.
Yeah.
They want to break that $100 million number, so we'll see if they
What's
do
the rest
that.
Of the country doing? We were talking about that yesterday. There's 350 million, 400 million people in the country. What the hell is everybody else doing if only 100 million are watching the Super Bowl? Where are they all? Where are they?
Knicks basketball?
Damn, I don't think so. That's right.
Hey, great scene.
Oh, I love you, Mike.
Appreciate you coming in.
Chris,
he's the man.
Good job, pal.
Chris Mad Dog Russo. They named a whole network after him. Pretty soon it's just going to be called Mad Dog. No, serious.
You don't even
just
need
Mad Dog.
I know.
We'll be back.
He's a star. He's the
PFC
man.
Live right after this.
See you, man.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
There's the cover. Eric Dickerson, watch my smoke. Watch Eric Dickerson. Listen to Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson, Hall of Famer, is with us.
Wow.
Congratulations on the book, Autobiography.
Yes.
Are you misquoted in your own autobiography like Charles Barkley was?
No, not at all. Really? He was?
Yes.
No, not at all. I got to say, Greg Hannon did a great job with this book. It sounds just like me. I just finished the audio book like 3 weeks ago. That was very difficult, but I'm glad I did it.
You, like, are a trendsetter, I think, so much more than people realize. You have an unbelievable career, unbelievable stories from recruiting I want to get into when you're picking colleges, everything. First thing I want to do is just, like, I don't think people realize your face mask you wore, right? That's so famous now in the NFL.
Yeah,
you're the first one to wear that.
Yeah.
You know, with your goggles. Deion Sanders then wore it, then Emmitt Smith wore it, and now Lamar Jackson and all cool players want to wear it. Like, tell us how that came about and wearing that.
When I first got to playing college football, they had the bar down the middle.
Right,
and
right.
I hated that bar. And,
yeah.
And my senior year, one of the trainers came in, he said, hey, Eric, he said, we have a new mask I want you to try.
Right.
A prototype. And I put it on. I said, oh, I love it. I love it. And so I wore it from my senior year all the way till my child retired from football. Boy, I love those two runs.
Oh, man. Those are good runs right there.
That's when I had the Jets, boy.
But, and you did have the Jets. Wait. So why we're talking about Jets, can I jump in on this? I mean, while you're burning the Jets. Now, I'd love that. This is where I wanted to go. You're one of the fastest players in the history of the NFL. Right?
I guess.
Yeah, you are. I mean, come on.
How
many times you had to run for an 80-yard touchdown?
I can run.
But you played against, I want to know kind of like the Eric Dickerson fastest guys in the history of football, like in your mind.
Who's the fastest guy?
Yeah, like who would you put up there? Now, Darryl Green, I know, did run you down.
Oh, Darryl Green.
Him?
No one could outrun Darryl Green.
Nobody. Not even Deion, you don't think?
No. You can say, they say that, no one. I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
This was about 15 years ago. I just turned 51. I'm at a golf tournament. This guy says, you know, the fast guy in the NFL was Bo Jackson and Deion. I said, nope. Oh, I'm telling you. Was he arguing? I said, I'm telling you. Look it up. Oh, I'm telling you. So he looks it up. He says, see right here, Darryl Green, a 4.3. I said, how old was he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he was 50 years old. I said, exactly. I said, no one could outrun Darryl. Darryl ran as fast as he had to. That's how fast he was.
Right. Okay. That's cool. That's big stuff coming from you.
Yeah.
Because most of the world doesn't realize, like, they know he's fast, but everybody puts him on. You're right.
No.
Tyreek Hill now.
He can't outrun Darryl Green.
Yeah. I love it.
2105 is still the number, the single-season rushing record you've held since 1984. With 17 games now. do you get a little nervous?
Nah, I don't get nervous about it. You know, it's very difficult to get those 2,000 yards. And I've told people that over and over. Matter of fact, this year when Derrick Henry was on pace, really on a better pace than he was the year before, I kept saying he's not going to get it. And I don't never want to see a guy get hurt. I want to break a record. But it just takes so much to go right to break a record like any record. I mean, you got to stay healthy. You can't fall behind. You can't have your offensive lineman get hurt. Everything has to go perfect. And the year I got it, I mean, things didn't go right at first. I mean, it was going better my rookie season. And the year I broke the record, I had a bad toe, and I didn't think I was going to be able to play. And a guy named Tuthill made it a toe piece. I still have it in my house, a toe piece that I wore in my shoe my whole career and enabled me to play.
Who's the running back you look at right now? I mean, I know Derrick Henry's the man, but who's another guy that you just go, man, I love watching him run
you know, in the NFL right now? Is there one that you that you're a real fan of?
I mean, I'm a fan of Zeke. I mean, I like Zeke. Zeke's been doing it for a long time. I liked when he came in.
Right.
You know, it's not a lot of backs. That's the thing. It's not a lot. We had
a different era.
Right. We had myself. We had Marcus. We had Earl Campbell. We had Walter Payton. I mean, you can go down the line of back after back after back.
In the middle of the road running backs were like Joe Morris. Who were good,
Joe Morris, right? Joe Morris and the Giants.
Yeah,
right. It was a lot of guys out there. But right now, you know, it's just a few guys. I mean, I like Derrick Henry because he's a big back. I like big backs. I mean, because the guy said, oh, he's a big back. How big is he? Oh, he's 5'10", 220. I'm like, that's a little bitty guy. That's a guy back.
What's your relationship with the Rams currently? You got the hat on, so it must be good.
I'll say this much. I mean, I love my football team. I love playing for the football team. I'm happy to be associated. I work for the team. But, you know, it's football. I mean, it's business as usual. I mean, it's still a business. I think people don't understand that it's business no matter what. It was business back then, even though it was a bad business back when I played. But you know, it's way different than it was when I played for the Los Angeles Rams.
It's not that long ago, but you know, to the extent Rams fans are happy they've got a team now that's made it to a couple of Super Bowls. You know, you started up a little bit with Jeff Fisher. He messed with the wrong Marine a few years ago. I mean, that was real, right? That was raw. There was a few weeks there where there was some back and forth before Fisher got fired.
Well, it started because I had said on my radio show about, you know, in L.A., we want to win. We don't want to almost win. And they say, oh, man, if we'd have had another quarter, if this wouldn't happen, I say, that's what losers say. And so I said we need to win. I'm saying, in 8-8 and 7-9, it's just not going to cut it. I said, this is L.A., this is not St. Louis. And so then I got a call.
Yeah.
I got a call from Jeff Fisher. He called me and said that, you know, that they did not want me on the sideline. I made the players feel uncomfortable. I made his coaches feel uncomfortable. That's what he said to me. I mean, he said that. And I'm not going to talk about his players and expect things from the team.
Right.
I said, okay. And then I won't forget, he said to me a few more other things. I didn't say one word. I just listened.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay. I said, well, thanks, Jeff, for calling me. I appreciate it. He said, okay. And they said, okay, I'll talk to you. I said, oh, no. It's my turn now. And I broke it down to him. I said, Jeff, I said, really, I want to thank you for the call, man. I said, I appreciate it. I said, but understand one thing. I said, man, F the Rams. I don't work for the Rams. I didn't work for the Rams.
Right.
I said, I played for that football team. I said, I wore that uniform. I said, man, you're just a coach. I said, when you leave the Rams, I will still always be Eric Dickerson of the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, went on and you know, then he said, Eric, man, I didn't want that. I want you to come to the games. I said, man, as long as you head coach, I'll never come back.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, I like it. Okay. Yeah. Keep it real.
I keep it
Watch
100.
Watch my smoke.
I keep it 100. Just like the book. I keep it 100.
I mean, I love this. You got me hooked. I like to smoke, too. So that's all. That's good.
What are you smoking?
I think he's moving up.
I think he's moving to L.A. He's been here a week. I don't think he's leaving.
I'm just like, wait. I'll smoke. You want to do that? Oh, my God. Let's do that. All right. I'm so excited. I'm like legitimately, you have so many crazy stories about the history of football. You know, first off, your hair is amazing. Second off, you're one of the first big time franchise running backs to say, wait, I want to get the hell out of here. Trade me or pay me more money. And what I want to specifically ask you is urban legend stories, right? When you're
going back to
college.
Urban legend? Okay.
Well, I always was told that Texas A&M, and like statute of limitations is gone, right? They can't come back in the NCAA.
It's gone.
Sue him
statute. Statue, by the way, statute, right. Not statue, but you're good.
I always heard that A&M got you a car, right, to go to Texas A&M. And you took the car and said, I'm going to go to SMU. And, like, what are they going to do about it?
Well, I'll say this much here about that story.
All right.
It's some truth to that story.
Okay.
I've always said my grandmother bought that Trans Am.
Right.
And my grandmother did buy the Trans Am. People thought my grandmother was the lady who raised me. That was my great aunt, because I was adopted. I was legally adopted.
She was older.
See, people didn't know that. And it's in my book. And so my grandfather lived in Houston. My grandfather had a great job. He's a crane operator. And my grandmother, they got a new car like every 3 years. So they knew I wanted this car, and A&M was pushing hard, talking to everybody in my family.
Right.
So they had me go down to Leo Jonigan Pontiac, right there off I-10.
Right.
And say, hey, I want to look at a car. So I go down there with them, and make a long story short, they come back, okay, here's the keys. I'm like, what? Like, just take the car. Well, I'm like, cool. I get a new car. So I got the car, and I won't forget. I asked my mom. I said, Mama, how did you get this car? She said, don't you worry about it.
So yeah.
No, this is it.
Right.
You're not gonna get in any trouble behind that car. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So years later, after I'd finished playing pro football, I asked my grandmother. I said, Mom, Johnny May. It's called Mama Johnny May. Why did I get that car? She said, Eric. She said, we paid for that car. you say, you know, we paid for the car, and A&M gave us the money back for the car.
Right, there we go.
That was it.
I was going to say, somebody's got to give money somewhere.
That was it. So they gave them the cash back. So that's it.
I love it. Good. It's an awesome story.
Tell us more about where we can get the book and anything you want. This is your time to sell it. Get people to buy it.
You can get the book. You can order the book on Amazon. You know, at a lot of bookstores, you can get the book also. Look, the book is not just about my life in the NFL. It's just my life, period. I mean, it starts off talking about my life in Indianapolis with the Colts. It was not a good start, but it's my story, and I think it captivates you right off the bat because it tells a story about, you know, an interaction I had with me and Bob Arce and some other players. I talk about my time with the Rams, leaving the Rams. I think the main thing that I want people to know is that, first of all, I've always hated when people judge people that they don't know.
Right.
And being athletes, we've always carry that burden. You know, people didn't know my situation with the Rams. They're like, I'm money hungry. Yeah.
You were judged a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And we had no outlet. And my thing was, I just wanted to be paid right. I mean, think about it. My first year, I was the second pick in the draft behind Elway. I'm making $150,000. I mean, the year I ran for 2,000 yards.
And leading the NFL in rushing.
Yeah, the year I ran for 2,000 yards, I think I was making 275.
Damn.
I mean, it just got worse and worse. At one point, I went to the general manager, and it took me a month to get a meeting with him. I said, I tell you what. Now, think about this. I said, I'll go year by year. If I have 1,500 yards, pay me like a quarterback. Pay me $1 million, $1.5 million. And I won't forget, he said, no, we're not going to do that. So, boom, it just got worse and worse at that point.
Right, right.
So, but I wanted to play for that team my whole career, but I didn't, so it is what it is.
Yeah, business is business.
Yep. Just one of the stories you'll read about in Watch My Smoke or hear about if you get the audio version, narrated by Eric Dickerson. Man. Hey, great seeing you. Congratulations on your success. Congratulations on the book, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're the man, Eric Dickerson.
All right, thanks. You moving to Hollywood?
Damn. There are rules. I like the rules out here.
So, Matthew, if we were casting the movie of your life, who do you think would play you?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I'll say Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know how he is at throwing the football, but modern technology, I'm sure we can make it look good.
I don't know. They have a similar shaped head and face.
I guess so.
They could make it work, I do think.
I guess so.
Well, that's quite braggadocious by him to think he should be played by the handsome Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Leo. I'll go with Leo. Leo was at the game.
Yeah, I'm sure Leo seems to be somewhat of a sports fan. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of stars at this game.
We are probably going to. Well, the Super Bowl generally attracts
this
that.
Is extra.
But Super Bowl in L.A.,
it's
going to be wild. There's going to be people that we're going to see, and we're going to be like, wait a minute, what are they doing here?
Right, right. Why am I on the same field as that person? They're too big time to be here next to me.
It's been a crazy week so far, and it gets even crazier tomorrow. We were looking at the schedule. We got a lot of interviews tomorrow that we're going to tape throughout the course of the day, and I don't even know how many of them are going to make it to the show. But today was great. Eric Dickerson was awesome. Go get his book. What's his book? Watch My Smoke.
Watch My Smoke.
That would be yours too. It's too late. You know what? You can't copyright titles, so you can do Watch My Smoke also. So you're good to go.
Right.
Justin Herbert was awesome.
Awesome.
Mad Dog is always Mad Dog.
It was amazing.
You guys got limitless energy.
Yes.
I was on with him a half hour.
Right.
After talking to him for a half hour, I feel like I need to take a nap. After having him on the show with us for 20 minutes, I feel like I need to take another nap.
Yeah.
He is incredible. But it was fun.
He's
so
amazing.
Far, so good.
He's been like that ever since I was a little kid growing up listening to the WFN.
There's
my book. Watch me. I should call it Watch Me Toke.
Watch Me Smoke.
Not Smoke. Watch Me Toke.
How so did they do that fat? Don't. That's
our man
that
EJ.
Ready.
Our
EJ's
man
got
EJ
it down pat.
Again. Damn,
I want to see you in those glasses.
Too.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No.
Thank you.
Watch me smoke. I like it.
Watch me smoke. Well, if you come and find me here in California after the show, you might be able to see that in action.
There's a dispensary nearby.
I have to visit there tomorrow.
I may have to go there now.
Awesome.
I better go there before you do because I have nothing left.
I would like to clean it out.
It's legal.
It is legal.
It's good for you.
Right.
Helps reduce stress.
I got that.
Stress level
you.
High tomorrow with all the COVID that's going to be in the building. I've given up.
Good.
I've accepted.
All you can do. Good.
I can run, but I can't hide.
You're here. That's right.
Thanks for some of your time. Enjoyed it as always. We'll be back again tomorrow. Check us out around the clock at ProFootballTalk.com. See ya.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.